Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another in a series of Read the Word, where we are reading the majestic Word of God. Wow. His word is a mighty, awesome, wonderful, powerful, living force on the face of this earth. Thank you, Jesus, for it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, we've today's day 279. We've been doing this and making this happen. Why? Because God is in the inside of His Word, exploding it to be filled with power and might and strength. Every time we come here, blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it is ours in great blessing. And so, glad to have you here with us. And today, we get Jesus' first public miracle. And the turning the water into wine in Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your wonderful presence in our life every day. Receive your word and all of its power into our life right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Here we go. John chapter 2 is our reading today. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, we have no wine. For they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, mother, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. That's an interesting statement, that Jesus knew there was an hour for him. The vision is for an appointed time. Though it tarry, wait for it. Verse 5, his mother said to the servants, whatever he tells you to do, go do. She knew her boy, didn't she? Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. You know how Mary was. Jesus said, well, fill those pots with water. And they all looked at Mary like, really? And she's like, now it is. Let's do what he said. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water, the servants all fell on the floor gagging. Well, doesn't say that. Look what it does say. Tasted the water, it was made wine, and did not know where it came from. But the servants who had drawn the water knew where it came from. They were like, well, he's going to drink it. Oh, he drank it. And but see, those water pots were made for the purifying of their feet. So it's not like that they were really dirty, but they just used that probably to splash on your feet when you come in, and then they washed it up and they tucked their foot down in it. But it was just considered a dirty water pot for cleaning feet. And Jesus used it. It makes you wonder if anybody else at the feast ever found out, or if they just kept saying, bring us more wine. Anyways. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and the guests, when they have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Think about that statement. But you have saved the best wine for last. And that's the story of God. It's the new wine that we're in. The latter rain is greater than the former rain. The law was under wrath of God, but grace is under the goodness of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. 12, and after this he went down to Capernaum. He, his mother, his brothers, his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. So does that mean they didn't stay there many days, or does that mean that they actually did? Well, Capernaum was Jesus' home. That's where he lived. That's where his house was. Mary, Jesus' mother, his brothers, so Jesus had siblings, half-brothers. And now verse 13. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold sheep, oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. Now wait. Allowed by God in the law for that to happen. When he had made a whip of cords, Jesus saw it and he just stood there. I'm fixing to beat the fire out of you bunch of thieves in my Father's house. And he's braiding a whip. He drove them out of the temple with the sheep, the oxen, and poured the money changers' tables, overturned them. He said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. And what they were doing is they were charging an exorbitant rate, and they were doing wicked business right in God's house. It doesn't say don't have a bookstore in your church, right, which a lot of people falsely alliterate this to. Verse 17, his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal for your house has eaten me up. Can you imagine the disciples? Whoa. Woo! We knew the Christ was going to be serious, but wow. 18. So the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show us since you do these things? And he said, a whip. No, he didn't say that. Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Well, of course, as soon as he said temple, they thought the building. They forgot that Ezekiel said he's going to put his spirit in a new temple, give you a new heart, right, take out the stony one, and you would be the temple. But they forgot about that. 21, he was speaking to the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. 23, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them. I've never seen that verse before. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. I just do not remember ever reading that. It's all right. That's the glory of the majestic word of God. Out loud, that's the difference. When you're in your mind, when you're just reading silently, it's easy to go over stuff. But boy, when you read it out loud, it's not easy. Chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. That statement in itself should have caused them to follow after Jesus and become one of his disciples. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now remember, they didn't understand the born again experience. Because they didn't realize it, you know. But you and I know it because it is taught and has been taught in the churches of America now for, 400 years. Verse 5, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Water, his mother, Spirit, being born again. Spiritually. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said, how can these things be? And Jesus looked at him and said, are you a teacher of the law of Israel, and you do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. Now, he's saying we there. That's interesting. 12. If I have told you earthly things and you not believe, you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 16, for God, this is a famous verse everybody knows, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. 19, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. And that's what this whole series is we're preaching right now. These preachers are telling people that you'll never be perfect. You'll never, you know, just don't worry about what you do. They're not coming to the light because their deeds are evil. That's pretty messed up. And they're pastors of churches. 23. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. Powerful statement. You yourselves bear witness that I said, I'm not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. John knew his place in God. Verse 31, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. What he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. Verse 33, he who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life. Boy, that's a powerful statement, wow, isn't it? But the wrath of God abides on him. There's nothing you can do about that. You can't take that verse out of the Bible. How far are we going here? Chapter 4. A Samaritan woman meets her Messiah. Verse 1, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples baptized, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, his body got weary, just like yours would and mine would. Why? Because he was a man. He took on himself the likeness of man so he could prove to all history that a man anointed by the Holy Spirit could live above sin. Mm-hmm. And then he gave us that righteousness and the glory that the Father gave him. How cool is that? Mm-hmm. He sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Can you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone away into the city to buy some food. The woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" So there's a bunch of prejudice here, because Jesus wasn't supposed to be talking to a woman, and most certainly not a Samaritan. There was a severe prejudice there. Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" She's like, "Well, you just asked me for a drink. What am I going to ask you for a drink from? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" I mean, they're worshiping the well because our father, Jacob. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But that water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Well, how does it do it, Pastor? I have no idea, but it sure does. In the old church, we sang the hymn, "Drinking from the springs of living water." Did you ever sing that one? "Happy now am I, my soul is satisfied, drinking at the springs of living water. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply." Isn't that something? Just pops up like a bubble. There it is. "15. The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw.' Jesus said to her, 'Go call your husband.'" The story's about to get serious. "Go call your husband and come here." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have said well, you have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." And the woman's jaw was hanging to the ground. See, Jesus got a gift of the Spirit. He's anointed and filled with the Spirit of God. And he got a gift of the Spirit that she'd had five husbands. And when he said, "Get your husband," Father said, she's had five, and Jesus spoke it. And she's like, "Oh my goodness." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." You've had 5:19. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Now, Jesus did not say in that statement, "Everybody stand around and have a discernment meeting of how many times somebody's been married." That is not what Jesus did, and that is not what Jesus is telling you to do. You notice that's the only time in all of Jesus' teaching that that happens that we have record of. Keep reading, 21. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming." I love this verse. Underline it, highlight it, circle it, put a big square around it. Learn this verse. Get the revelation of it. "The hour is coming, and now is," when Jesus was standing there with her, "when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Father is seeking for you to walk in a life of fellowship with him every single day of your life. 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you get your heavenly prayer language, you have the ability to communicate with God, no interference of anybody. 25, the woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, who's called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Even though they were looked down on by the Jews, they still knew the word. And Jacob was their father. Okay? Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. At this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one dared to say to him, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? Because Jesus still had the whip in his bag. 28. That's not in the Bible. No, nobody get freaked out there. 28. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, said to the men who she had been married to, come and see a man who told me all the things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, Master, eat. And he said to them, I have food to eat, which you do not know of. Now, Jesus wasn't telling you to not eat food. He's telling you there's another source of nutrition besides protein and vegetables. You got to have bacon.
I don't think Jesus ate bacon.
Jesus didn't, but we do.
Yes.
It's like that picture Bill Johnson showed. The bacon package. And they gave instructions on how to cook bacon and said, and if you don't know how to cook bacon, you shouldn't be eating it or something. What did it say? It's a really good statement. It was right on the package. Every American should know how to make bacon. Where am I at? 32, making bacon. Here we go. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. The disciples said to one another, has someone brought him something to eat? Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus is telling them, just doing the will of God is a serious amount of completion in your life. Do not say there's still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. And that's what we studied tonight. Who's Paul and Apollos, but people that build on your foundation? 38. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Verse 39. Now, naturally, I want to preach that whole chapter I just read because there's so much in it. Verse 39. The Savior of the world. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. When the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, but we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And yet, do you notice that even though they said we believe now because we've seen with our own eyes. That's still how Jesus does it to this day. You and I tell a story, and it helps somebody see God. Now, after 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all of the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also had gone up to the feast. Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for his son was at the point of death. Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." The nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said, "Go. Your way, your son lives." Jesus sent the word by his words, and the healing happened. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. As he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." And he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, "Yesterday, the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives," and he himself believed, and his whole household. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he'd come out of Judea into Galilee. And you know, I've heard a powerful testimony just like that today. Somebody was having a healing service. And I forget what they called out, but it was like a serious physical abnormality. I don't know what you call it, disease, sickness, or something. And the person on the platform, by a word, a gift of the Spirit, said, "If you have a relative who, Lyme's disease, if you have a relative who has this disease, pull your phone out, text them right now and say, I'm standing in the gap for your healing." Well, now, Lyme's disease is a pretty serious thing. Mm-hmm. All right. So this lady has an uncle or somebody who has it. She pulls out her phone and texts the guy and says, "We're praying for your healing," or his wife or something. Anyways, your family member. "We're praying for your healing from Lyme disease right now." So, you know, in the service, people are healed and everything, you know. Well, something happened in that story, and he didn't get the text, you know, like power outage or something. But he got healed. He woke up and he said to his wife, "Something changed. I think I got healed." There were Christian people. "I think I got healed." And so they're getting around and they're getting ready to type a message to the young lady who had sent the message to him saying, "I'm praying for your healing right now." And her message came through right when he picked his phone up.
Wow.
To tell her. She stood in faith for her relative miles away, even though her text didn't get to him. He still was made whole. Mm-hmm. Now, you and I just think it's too hard. We think, well, God can heal cold, but I mean, AIDS, that's another story. No, everything's easy for him. Because he's great. He don't have difficult cases. He just has cases. Can I get an amen from anybody? Yeah. I mean, even Ripley say amen. Snore. Wow. Amazing, amazing, amazing three chapters from the book of John. You don't want to miss this, guys. Jesus is coming soon. Share this with everybody you know, even those who you wonder if they would even receive it. Don't be the judge. Don't be the judge.
Yeah,
just send it. Adult boys, redneck boys are saying in this day, send it. Just send it. And let them be the judge of whether or not they want. And you be the blessing to them. Now, you always want to pray the prayer of salvation so that we know everybody that's here is born again and right with God. The rapture could happen at any minute, guys. Any minute. That's not a story. Not something we use to freak you up. You're going to be judged by this book. One day you're going to stand before God Almighty, but you're going to be judged by this book. And the cool thing about God is he put the book on earth so you could know what you're going to be judged by. So that you would be ready and in good shape so when you get there, he just says, my son, well done. Gives you a big hug and you enter into heaven. Pray this prayer with me. Be right with God. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life.
Everybody
every
pray.
Day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
That's my declaration of faith.
That's my declaration of faith.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your hands out and say, Jesus, I receive you into my life.
Jesus, I receive you into my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
Every part of you.
With every part of you.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful
as
life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen. And amen. And amen. Welcome to the family of God. We're glad to have you with us. Welcome to the family of God.
Welcome to the family.
What you just did changed your whole eternity. Isn't that something to think? That one prayer takes 2 minutes, changed your whole eternity. How amazing is that? God Almighty just came to live inside of you, washed you with Jesus' blood, made you white as snow, threw all of your sins in the sea of forgetfulness, and filled you with Jesus' righteousness in one prayer. Now, God Almighty lives in here, and he's going to lead you every day of your life. People say to me all the time, Pastor, I don't even know how to be a Christian. Don't worry about being a Christian. Just walk with God. Wake up in the morning, just before you get out of bed, just say, Father, help me walk with you today. And then talk to him like he's your father all day long. Stop at lunch and thank him for your food, supper. Teach your family to say, help me walk with you. And when you go to sleep at night, you lay there in that bed. Before you go to sleep, just say, how did I do today? And he will tell you. And what will begin to happen is you'll begin to hear his voice in here. Not in these ears, in your spirit, man. And you'll build a relationship with him. And that's amazing. And that's the Christian life. Click like, subscribe, hit the bell. Be a part of everything we do. If you go back and just start at the beginning and read the word in Genesis, and call them all the way through to this point, you will grow and be established in your faith so much you won't even know who you are by the end of this year. You'll be a different person. And you can, and you could do it. Excuse me. Real strong coffee. And get caught up with this. Send me an email. Ask me a question. Honestly, we're here on YouTube every night, 8 p.m. to about 8 p.m. Eastern to 8 p.m. Eastern, we'll be here. And we'll be a blessing to you and teach you the Word of God. Got a great series going right now. Awake to righteousness, and you will not sin. It's really cool what God really said in His Word. Well, that's all we got. Until we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And
Jesus is
Lord. God bless all of you on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, share this with anybody anywhere in the world, anywhere they can get the internet. Share this with them. It'll be a blessing to them like it is to you. If you are in a foreign nation and you want this translated into your native language, send me an email, hgpreacherman@gmail.com, and let me know, and I'll help you know how to do that, because we can make it happen, and it'll be a blessing to you and to many other people in Jesus' mighty name.